Well, it's a new year, and again, we thank Henderson and Watercutty, full-service law firm based in St. Louis, for sponsoring Ben Fred Fridays. 2020 is here, and Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch, as always on a Friday, joins me. Ben, happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you, Dan. What's your resolution?
Well, I would say lose weight, but I did that.
Yeah, come on, you don't have any more left to lose. You got to give me one of those Scoops hats. That's my resolution for you.
Now that'll be done by next week. Does that sound good?
that's fair.
How about a golf shirt? Would you like that too?
I would like one too. Yeah,
you'll have it coming. That'll be a New Year's resolution. How about for you? Do you have a New Year's resolution?
I'm gonna try to stop just eating everything in my orbit. I think that's a good one. I liked the somebody sent out a tweet. Who was it? Oh, I think it was Ed Orgeron. He didn't tweet it. He said it at a press conference before LSU kicked the crap out of Oklahoma. He said, "My New Year's resolution is to eat less, and it won't work."
I think
like getting out ahead of the failure.
You know, most people can probably lay claim to that statement, so it's okay.
He also lives in Louisiana, so I mean, the odds are against him. I mean, you can't help but eat when you live there.
You got it, and they're eating up other teams, and that's one of the things
My goodness. I wanted
to talk about. Was the national championship game. Dabo Swinney has done it again. They come back against Ohio State. Whether or not you like the calls against him, bottom line, they're in. And Ed Orgeron and LSU, with their great talent, and I mean they have great talent, they're in the national championship game. It just shows again, though, in a general sense, LSU, Alabama a couple of days ago against Michigan. For the most part, what the SEC has done against the rest of the country, it is the dominant conference that Mizzou finds themselves right now in football, and that's the SEC.
Yeah, it's where the big dogs play. And, you know, for all the talk about people being tired of that, it's years like this that remind you of it. You look at how LSU totally dismissed Oklahoma, and word comes out after that game, and some of this could be you know, cockiness after the win, but hey, LSU's coaches were telling people, Dan, that was the, you know, maybe sixth or seventh best team that they had played that season, that they felt that way as they scouted and got ready to play Oklahoma. And you know, they kind of showed that to be true by beating them 63-28. That's a bad look for the Big 12, which seems to get fired up about the SEC as much as the Big 10. And Clemson, of course, not in the SEC, but to have Ohio State, that was, in my opinion, the best game that I've watched probably all year. That was just a great football game. I know there was a controversial fumble call, but you got to find a way to win, and Clemson did it, and Ohio State didn't. And then you look around at the rest of the SEC performances. You know, Florida goes out and beats, you know, holds off Virginia. Of course, Mississippi State loses to Louisville. But you have what I thought was another one of the best games of the year, Kentucky taking it to Virginia Tech. That game was insane. I don't know if you got to watch any of it. Lynn Bowden Jr., the wide receiver who has been playing quarterback for Kentucky, he had one of the best bowl performances of all time. And Missouri is looking back on, man, we don't feel so bad losing to that guy now. He had 34 carries for 233 yards in that game. And then you look at what Georgia did to Baylor. I mean, the SEC has shown up. And, you know, Auburn is one of the ones that didn't. But then Alabama takes down Michigan. And really, what I thought was an embarrassing game for Michigan. You look at the fact that Alabama had a ton of players sitting out, because those guys, you know, a lot of them, if they're not playing for a national championship, they're getting ready for the NFL. And it was a close game early, and then Alabama just poured it on with their reserves.
You know, I was at that game. I saw it live. I've been spending some time down in Florida, so I took my boys to the Citrus Bowl, and we watched that game a couple of days ago in person, and you see the speed of Alabama. You see the athletes of Alabama and Michigan. Michigan has some athletes too, and you wonder, where is Mizzou? There were a couple of kids on the field in that game that were local products that Mizzou let go. Didn't even really offer or recruit those kids. That has got to change going forward. They've got to be evaluating talent and bringing them to Columbia. It's a broken record, but that's what Eli Drinkwitz is going to have to do.
Well, he's making some hires, Dan, that really put an emphasis on recruiting. The latest being Bush Hamden. He was the offensive coordinator at Washington. He had worked with Drinkwitz at Arkansas State. He's kind of known for his recruiting in the Pacific Northwest. He will come on as some sort of an offensive assistant. And what you're seeing here is kind of interesting because Drinkwitz is not necessarily hiring guys for specific jobs. I mean, he has roles in mind, but I think he's more going out and getting the coaches that he wants and then figuring out where to put them. And a big part of where he decides to put them is taking a backseat to how he wants them as recruiters. And if you're going to raise the profile of coaching or of recruiting at Mizzou, you better go out and get some guys who are landing some names that wouldn't consider Mizzou beforehand. So Elias done an interesting thing here. He's kept some of the Mizzou holdovers. He's kept Brick Haley. He's kept Ryan Walters. He's kept David Gibbs, guys who I think he feels like can keep some of the guys together, keep maybe the defections down. You've seen a guy like Tyler Beatty, whose future was kind of up in the air, decide that he's going to come back, which is a great news for Mizzou because that will be their starting running back. And then he's gone out and made some hires that are kind of known to be needle movers defensively. On top of Hadman, who we mentioned, they've also added Curtis Looper, who I think Curtis Looper, Dan, is probably the biggest hire that Missouri football has made or most important hire that's not named Eliah Drinkwitz. Curtis Looper is going to be the guy who is in charge of recruiting St. Louis. For years and years, it was Cornell Ford who had those relationships built up with high school coaches and players in St. Louis. When Barry Odom got the job, he kind of changed up the recruiting. He went away from the Gary Pinkel system, which really planted coaches in specific regional areas, and went to more position-based recruiting. So Cornell Ford went from recruiting just St. Louis to recruiting running backs nationally. It sounds like Drinkwitz is going to flip it back. He's going to plant guys in different parts of the country, say, this is your region. If we need a player from this area, this geographical footprint, you're going to be the guy who goes and gets them. And Curtis Looper is going to be that guy for St. Louis who has a really good track record of recruiting, came on board from the staff there at TCU, where he was a co-offensive coordinator. He doesn't even have a title. He's just got offensive assistant. So he'll get probably a more specific title at some point. But it shows you that Drinkwitz is thinking about, I'm going to go get some dogs in the recruiting fight and worry about titles and roles later.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients. And this is why you can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Let's talk about Mizzou, SLU, Illinois basketball. Now that takes center stage after the national championship, and certainly when the NFL is through. Out of those three teams, do you see one emerging and maybe making it to the NCAA tournament?
Well, if I had to pick one today, I would pick SLU. I think SLU is the candidate in this discussion that got through its non-conference without a bad loss. You could argue that Illinois had a bad loss to Missouri, depending on how things shake out. And you could argue, well, you can't argue that Missouri had probably one of the worst losses in memory against Charleston Southern at home. Those things stick around. Illinois' other loss that's going to not look great was to Miami. Their other losses are to ranked teams. So, you know, you don't get really knocked for losing to ranked teams, but when you throw in a Miami and a Missouri in the non-conference, then it's a little more of an uphill battle, especially in as tough as a conference as the Big Ten. Missouri, it can dig out of this, but it's going to have to win probably two or three games that it on paper should not to overcome for the Charleston Southern debacle. Now, they have played much better basketball out of that. That was kind of the beginning of the end of their slide. Remember, they had that kind of stinky performance at the Hall of Fame Classic there in Kansas City. It was a really bad week for the program on all sides because the football sanctions were coming down and Barry Odom was losing his grip on his job, and it will be remembered as a pretty blah week for Mizzou, and the basketball losses in KC there were a big part of that. So they've got to take down like a Kentucky, which is, you know, their first conference game on the road. They've got to beat a weakened Tennessee team that is playing without Lamonte Turner, their star guard, and has looked much more vulnerable since he exited the season with a shoulder injury. So they know what they've got to do. It's just a matter of, you know, rising up and doing it. SLU is in the best shape out of any of that group. Two losses, so they're 11-2 entering conference play. The losses were to a 12th-ranked Seton Hall team that has since then beaten a higher-ranked Maryland team. No, that's not a bad loss. Now, it was a disappointing loss because SLU got slapped around, and I didn't feel like they were ever in the game. But on paper, the loss does not scream out as being a bad one. After that, they ran off five consecutive wins, and their only other loss in the non-conference was to then-12th-ranked Auburn. Auburn, Dan, is one of the best teams in the country right now. They have not lost a game. They are 12-0. They're first in the SEC. They're ranked eighth in the country now, and that was a game that was on the road. So there's not a bad loss right now on SLU's schedule. I think there's going to be three or four teams, probably three, that get in the A-10 tournament. It's a deeper, better conference. That will help SLU. You don't have to win the conference tournament like they did last year in order to get in. So if I had to put money on one, and I'm not putting any money because I just watched Uncut Gems and it gave me a fear of sports gambling, I would put it on SLU to make the tournament.
I would too. I think it's going to be tough, but I think they do have a shot. Let's switch gears to hockey. Turn the calendar, and what a year it was for the St. Louis Blues. Historic year, one of the greatest years in NHL history in the calendar year. You know, when you look at the All-Star game coming to St. Louis, and that's going to get a lot of attention here in the next few weeks, and I think everybody's excited that St. Louis will be center stage for hockey. Petrangelo gets in, Bennington gets in, O'Reilly gets in, and David Perron might get in. Just your thoughts on that, and then looking forward to what fans can expect for the NHL All-Star game in St. Louis.
Well, it'll be done right. It'll be a huge crowd. It will get rave reviews from hockey and fans who attend because that's what St. Louis does. I mean, when you plant an event like this here in St. Louis, people are going to show up and show out, especially when there's this much excitement based off the Blues winning the Stanley Cup last season, based off them not skipping a beat from that win last season. There's going to be that leftover appeal from the Winter Classic, which was such a hit in St. Louis. So much so that it sounds like, Dan, that the upcoming Winter Classic could be considering the Blues as a team to participate in. I think because the NHL has realized, if it forgot, that Blues fans will go and show and will have a good time. I mean, this is going to be a marquee event. It could not have worked out any better for Tom Stillman and his hockey team to host the Winter Classic, to have the team go on the run that it went on last season, to end up hosting the All-Star game as kind of the culmination of this awesome year. It's going to be populated with Blues. I think they made the right calls on the All-Stars, although they should have found a way to get David Perron in there. He's been so good. I think the fans are going to get him in. I can't imagine that they're going to miss a chance to vote David Perron in to his first All-Star game. He belongs in. And you can make a case for other Blues, but the way they do the 3-on-3 and get that member from every team, and you get how it gets tight. But David Perron belongs for a lot of reasons. One of just his points, just of what he's done in game-winning goals and overtime goals, the fact that he's a three-time member of this team in terms of, you know, leaving and coming back. He needs to be in there. So I think Blues fans will make that right. As for what they expect, the skills competition, it should be a who's who. I mean, Alex Ovechkin won't be there, but I think that's going to be his loss, because this will be an awesome, awesome weekend for hockey. And it's so much better that the Blues are, you know, as good as they are. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the game right now. It would have been a blast if the Blues were bottomed out and still holding on to their Stanley Cup win, but that's not what these guys are doing. They have successfully turned the page. And if you look at things right now, Dan, where they are in terms of their point total, where you look at where they are in terms of their goal differential, I mean, they're right there. It's the Blues, it's the Bruins, it's the Capitals, and those are your three best teams in hockey, and it's really not all that close.
What do you think happens with the captain? That'll be a big question, too, at the All-Star game with the national media here. Yep. He's a free agent to be, unrestricted. It's really interesting. It's one of those things in sports where you could tell the young man, look, your number probably would be retired if he stayed here and stayed healthy and continue the path that you're on. There might be a statue of you in front. You're the first guy to bring the cup to St. Louis, an indelible image of you holding the cup, the first St. Louis Blue to ever do that. Great pictures with the fireworks going off behind him and everything that he's done. Your great article about what he did during the parade. He's connected with this community. I'm just really curious what you think is going to happen with him.
Well, I hope he stays, and I hope the Blues make him an offer that makes him think long and hard about staying. I think if it boils down to just pure finances, and it's okay if it does. I'm not going to shame a guy for getting the most of what he can. I mean, it's a short time as a professional athlete. So if you're not maximizing your financial gain, then you're probably doing it wrong to some degree. But there are things that begin to factor in over time. His family is rooted here. He's got, as everybody knows, triplets, which the young kids who I don't think moving, you know, to a different city, buying a new house, all these things are probably high up on his list of things to do. But when you're, you know, a multimillionaire athlete, those things aren't as hard as maybe, you know, packing up the U-Haul yourself. So I think he understands what he means to this city. I think he understands what he means to the team. I think he wants to be compensated for what he feels like he has done. And maybe you'd have to ask Alex, but there is probably some point in his head where he goes, okay, if it's close, exit to stay or go, but if it's close financially, then I will maybe factor in some of the things that I value about being here and the good nature, the goodwill that I have with the Blues. But if it's not close, I think that's where you run into trouble. If you're asking a guy to take some sort of a massive hometown discount, it's not realistic probably in today's game with the lifespan of a professional athlete and just the, you know, in some degrees, the pressure on players to get their full value. I mean, you hear about that in baseball. Players get mad at other players when they're not maximizing their value, or they're taking an extension that isn't seen as competitive. They feel like it waters down. So, but Alex Pietrangelo has to do what's best for him. And I think Doug Armstrong is going to move the same way. We've seen enough of Army now to know that he's not going to get caught up in things that have happened in the past. He's not going to get caught up in emotions. He has been a cold, calculated, and I mean this in a positive way, tactician when it comes to building this team. And one of the reasons he brought in Justin Falk was in case they could not get Pietrangelo back. Now they're playing great together, and I think the Blues would love to keep them together, and they can. There's a way to do it, but it's not going to be easy. The cap is there, and Alex Pietrangelo, with the season he's having, is earning more money every time he steps on the ice. So you kind of see it coming. I think it's going to be interesting if the conversations start during the season. Knowing Pietrangelo and the way he stiff arms this conversation a little bit, if there's not going to be an extension agreed upon and announced pretty quick and tidy, then I bet we don't hear about this much until after the season when it's time to, you know, go through free agency, because I don't think as a captain he will want this to become a big part of the discussion this season. He tried to stiff arm it before the year started, and I can't imagine him wanting to get into it too much. Even during that little break during the All-Star game, unless there's something that's agreed upon on both sides.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays. the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
We are about a month away from spring training. What are you looking forward to as we get ready for the winter warm-up, the writer's dinner, and spring training?
Man, it's, it feels like it just ended, but that's what we do. We put down our head. We look over to hockey. By the time we know it, baseball's getting off the ground again. So, you know, I'm curious for about a lot of things. What's going to happen with Marcell Ozuna? I don't know. You and I trade texts about this, but I don't know if the guy's market is improving or getting worse based off of some of the teams that were interested in him, you know, peeling off and taking other options. So just when I think, okay, maybe he's starting to scramble, then I hear, oh, the Rangers want him, and this is going to drive his market up because he's one of the fewest guys left. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting what happens with him. I still don't – I guess if I had to pick today, I don't think he is back with the Cardinals. I think there's probably some team out there that's willing to offer him more years and more money. So then if he does go, the big question at winter warm-up is going to be, what's up with the offense and how is it going to be better and what's the order going to be and all these things that Mike Schilt will say, hey, we've got time to figure this out, but that won't soothe anybody who wonders who's going to be protecting Paul Goldschmidt in the lineup. I'm curious to get an update on Matt Carpenter, how his offseason is going, his quest to gain more strength and muscle. He was very candid in his comments to Derek Gould about, you know, the kind of season that he had. How does he change? I don't know that Matt Carpenter is going to be a doubles hitting guy anymore, Dan. I think he's got to put some weight on, get some strength back, and try to hit home runs. I think that's probably the best way for him to rebound. And I'm curious a little bit to get more insight into how things are going for Carlos Martinez. I wouldn't be surprised. I wrote it in my predictions column for 2020. If Kim, the new pitcher from Korea, makes more starts than Carlos Martinez in 2020. I think Carlos has grooved toward the closer role, and he's going to have to really kind of open some eyes, I think, and remind people of what he can do at spring training if he's not going to wind up back there. So those are the things I'm looking forward to. I'm really excited about the Writers Dinner, which tickets are still on sale at MetroTix. You can go to stlouisbbwaa.com. And we're going to have Ted Simmons there, and he's going to get a chance to talk to folks, and we're going to present him with an award. And really, it'll be his first comments publicly in St. Louis since he found out that he was going to be
You had him at the dinner
for the cancer fundraiser.
The National Children's Cancer Society. He'll be on there with Ozzie Smith January 11th and tickets at the NCCS.org. So I had to amend that statement by you. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Let me rewind this. One of the first times he's spoken publicly in St. Louis, he's going to Cooperstown, which he's, as you know, Dan, you did a great interview with him before he got the news. He's awesome just to listen to, and he tells amazing stories. He's got a crazy crazy good memory, and just his appreciation of the moment is really something to behold. So if folks haven't been, if they're looking for a fun night out and really a chance to celebrate Cardinals baseball, I would encourage them to check it out. We'll have Bill James there. We're going to give an award to Jack Flaherty. The players will be there. It's going to be a good night, and it always is, and helps us raise money to put some scholarships in the hands of up and coming sports writers. So it's for a good cause as well.
Looking forward to it. Hey, thanks, my man. Happy New Year to you and your wife, and it should be a great year of sports, and we'll have it covered here every Friday with you, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Sounds good, man. Happy New Year. I look forward to my hat.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.